This is CliffCentral.com. You know it, you know it. It's Bruno Mars and Cardi B and what's that thing called? Finesse. Da-da-da-da-da, finesse. All right, it's time for Anthea to help us understand the budget. Now, Anthea comes in once a week on a Monday to give us the money shot, and she talks through some stocks and shares, and she's an asset manager. And she seems to be, I don't know, you walked in here with a smile on your face this morning, and normally after the budget, that's the opposite of what people do. I've already had a bit of a rant about how the budget should be about what the government save, not how much more they take from you. But we'll talk about the details in a second. Why are you in such a good mood? Come on, out with
it. Good morning, Gareth. So, for sure, it was very unimaginative. It was pedestrian. It was boring.
Yeah.
No surprises. It was pragmatic. And that's what we liked. And I'll tell you, I'll cut to the chase. The reason I'm excited about it is because I think it will stave off the downgrade, which is what my biggest concern is. Yeah, you hadn't thought about that.
No.
So sure, you're paying for it. And you already know the facts, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going up.
Right.
So
1% increase in VAT?
1 percentage point in VAT. Because just I'm being pedantic like I should be because that's what I do. It's 1 percentage point,
okay.
Not 1%, because 1% on 14% is a mere 0.1%.
All right, so 1 percentage point, the big concern was that VAT would go up even more.
Yeah.
Why would that have been such a disaster if we had put VAT up by 2%, for example?
Would it have been a disaster? Well, it would have been a disaster for our pockets. So basically today, if you eat, if you drive, if you have medical aid.
You're saying it's like we have an option about eating or driving.
Exactly. If you get an increase so that it takes you into the next tax bracket, if you drink alcohol, if you smoke, let me see. You know, what Malusi
if you import anything, if you import luxury goods, or
if
you buy
use
a new
plastic
car.
Bags. the poet he should have quoted was Elizabeth Barrett Browning. How can I tax thee? Let me count the ways. Because everything he did yesterday. So nobody likes paying 1 percentage point extra on VAT, right? It is going to pay for, let me tell you, 64% of the budget revenue, though. So it's definitely coming out of our pockets. This budget was take from the rich to give to the poor and then take back from the middle classes. And I know everyone was worried because VAT is across the board and it'll affect even the poor. But remember, there will be a couple of zero-rated food goods and paraffin as well as the food, so bread and maize meal and all those. But actually, a study has shown that 30% of the wealthiest households will pay 85% of the VAT. So actually, yes, we are actually taking from the rich, even though it's an across the board increase in your taxes. So, I mean, I really don't want to go through every single one of the budgetary items, right? So far as to say that I'm very excited about the fact that it seems that the government now have a complete handle on the fact that they cannot keep borrowing money because that is a huge expenditure and we're getting nothing for it. So just think about your own budget. If you take out a loan and every month you're repaying this loan, you're paying interest on this loan, you're really not building your own assets or your own wealth. I mean, and actually that's just like a good life lesson for everybody or anybody who's listening, because debt is an absolute killer when it comes to building wealth. So, and I think the rating agencies will be cognizant of the fact that, you know, Malusi Gigaba actually said that we just cannot keep borrowing like this because it'll impact future generations and it's just not fair.
Right.
So it wasn't just me that was happy about the budget. The market reacted very well. The 10-year government bond traded below 8% dividend yield for the first time in a long time, which is a positive sign. The rand strengthened a little bit. So, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, boring, 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 but good.
It
was probably the most boring.
I was always really annoyed that Praveen used to be so boring, but I'm happy to hear Malusi's boring. Because it means that he's focused on the numbers rather than flash.
It's so interesting you mention Praveen. Did you not well, I don't know if you listened to the speech, but one of the things that was very apparent.
No.
You know, Gareth, even I struggle there. Normally, I'm quite like taking notes, and I want to know what's even. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God, can this man please stop talking already?
Right.
He was terrible. But actually, the one thing that struck me is that it was very much a Pravin-esque budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like we were going back to Gordhan's old kind of ways of doing things. You know, we have to do what we have to do. We have to make those sacrifices. And just can I say, in case there's anybody out there who for a minute doubts it, can I tell you that these cuts, the poorer you feel today is Jacob Zuma's legacy. This is a decade of maladministration is why you're paying so much more on the goods that you are today. There was no other way of doing it. That's why I'm not happy about being poorer, but that's exactly why it was a good budget. There was no other. They weren't trying to keep everybody happy. They were saying we need to do this and we're going to do it and let's get on with it.
Right. Well, there we go.
Did you also notice that there were a couple of things that weren't mentioned in the budget speech?
Like what?
Like radical economic transformation. Like nuclear energy build.
Out.
Ooh.
So what wasn't said was equally important. So there's no doubt this was not a Jacob Zuma zuptight speech, right? This was as far as possible, a Ramaphosa speech. There's no doubt he was coming in and saying, this is what we need to do, this is how we're going to do it, and we're just going to get on and do business.
All right, so let's talk about what taxes. I mean, Mubs brought up the sin taxes and estate duties and things like that have gone up, imports.
Yeah. Okay, so, all right, so VAT,
they're scrambling for money. The Treasury needs money.
Actually, last year's budget was very much scrambling for money, right? I'm going to take a little bit here. I'm going to increase this here. I'm going to take from here. But this one, the VAT will, I mean, VAT, 1 percentage point increase in VAT will bring 23 billion rand into the budget.
Yo.
That's not bad, right? So sure, you could have put it up by 2 percentage points and kind of almost covered it completely. But no, of course, he had to increase other taxes. So he didn't increase personal income tax, which was fantastic because actually I think that increasing personal income tax to that level is punitive, right? And counterproductive, quite frankly. I mean, so few people pay personal income tax. Why keep trying to chase the wealthy away? But what they did do was not give you any relief. So if this year you get an increase and it takes you into the next tax bracket, you will be paying higher personal income tax. Normally what they would do is something called bracket creep or relieve you of bracket creep and say, okay, we're pushing it up higher. They didn't do that. And that will bring in a couple of billion rand as well. The fuel one is a big one. I mean, that is going to hit absolutely everybody. There's no kind of zero rating items on this because think about it. If your fuel goes up, if you drive, your petrol budget goes up every month or every day, quite frankly. Public transport goes up. Transporting goods goes up. And so basically it really does touch everything. So pray for a weaker rand and a lower oil price.
All right. Well, what happened with the rand yesterday?
It was slightly stronger.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, that tells you a story.
Well, during the budget anyway. Exactly. What else went up? Oh, luxury goods went up. So you're now paying 9% more? Or was it 8 or 9% more on luxury goods?
How do they define things like luxury goods? What does that mean?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because, you know, in the news, they always say someone was arrested in their luxury car and you find out it was a Camry. Like, is that a luxury car? You know what I mean, right?
I know exactly what you mean. And I actually...
Let's go... This and that person was arrested in speeding in their luxury car in the N1. And you're like, oh, it's going to be a Bugatti or a Rolls Royce or a, you know, something fancy. And then it ends up being a Lexus. Like, what? But you said luxury car. How do we define luxury goods?
I honestly don't know what the absolute definition is. But you do know you're living in an emerging market, right? So, like, everything that's not... bread.
So if you're not digging in your own shit for food, you're basically you're living a luxury lifestyle.
Living in the lap of luxury. Look at you.
Right. Okay, so luxury goods are going up.
Yeah.
Right.
And then your medical aid, you used to be able to get a tax relief or tax credit. Mm-hmm. That's coming down, and that money is going to be used to fund more national health insurance. If you use plastic bags, that's going up. And I haven't memorized all these numbers, unfortunately. Sorry about that. But basically, yeah, that's kind of.
I don't mind plastic bags going up, because if you want to do something about that, you can take your own bag.
Yes, and please do, actually.
Yeah, I mean, if you're lazy enough like me that you never remember to bring your bag along, then you must pay.
Yeah.
And because it pollutes the environment and it's a disaster, and that is a great way for government to make money, because they're essentially taxing something which is an unnecessary part of life. When they give you a tax that you can't avoid, to me that seems like where it becomes a bit unfair. You know, things like electricity, fuel levies, those kinds of things are unavoidable for everybody. It's not like you can travel less. Nobody's driving around aimlessly because fuel is cheap, you know. It seems to me like a plastic bag is an acceptable thing. Sugar tax, they're doing that?
Nope, I didn't hear anything about the sugar tax. I might have missed it, actually, now that I think about it.
Right, well, you're not a big sugar eater, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I have my days. Okay. And then estate duty. So if you own property above 30 million rand, Gareth, are you listening carefully?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Then your estate duty tax is going from 20 to 25%. So don't die anytime soon. That's the other thing.
Government goes, hi, will you try not to die?
Because I'm going to tax you.
Yeah.
I want to encroach just for a minute or two on Justice Malala's sector or territory here. Because
All right. The
next question is, why did Malusi Gigaba deliver this budget speech? Because my concern, and it's been a concern since he was appointed, was that we got downgraded after the rating agencies met with him. And the issue was that he was unbelievable. He just wasn't credible as a finance minister. So why did Cyril Ramaphosa wait for and let him deliver the budget speech?
Well, Ben asked this question of Mubs earlier, and she said, well, maybe he's the fall guy.
I'm inclined to agree.
You know, do an unpopular budget. I mean, this actually turned out not to be as unpopular as we thought it was. People were predicting a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
And he delivered it. And maybe he just doesn't know that he's on his way out, because he seemed to think he was the bee's knees yesterday.
It's a shame.
Well, I mean, ever since his assumed new position as president, a lot of people have been saying, well, when are you going to do the reshuffle? And ultimately he said, like, these things take time.
Well, it's not today, because he's playing golf today.
Yeah,
so
but I think what
leave him alone.
I think what he's saying was, just give me a minute to work on my strategy.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I see this as a company and we're the finance department, I'm going to say this company is ready to be restructured now.
Ooh.
Right?
You want to move a cabinet around.
All right, so who would you prefer in that job? I mean, people are so unimaginative. They immediately go, well, let's have Praveen back. Let's have Nene back.
Well, I mean,
Trevor's been walking on the promenade.
Yes, one small picture had people speculating.
People have no imagination. I mean, are you telling me that in this whole country there aren't even more talented potential finance ministers than those three? Of course, those three did a reasonably good job, but then in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. So I'm sure we could find someone. I mean,
even Lesetja's name was thrown around, right?
Khanyako from the Reserve Bank.
That's
okay,
right.
But look here. President Ramaphosa is allowed to appoint two people to cabinet who don't even have to be MPs. He could phone Anthea Gardner next week and say to her, hi, Anthea, it's Cyril. Would you like to be the finance minister? Of course, Anthea will say no immediately. But a lot of other people might say yes.
Anthea can do both.
Hell no.
Of course she can.
We've got smart people in South Africa, really smart people.
And it's time.
How about
I think
Edward Kiswetter guy who used to be at Alexander Forbes,
who's now running the university, right?
And right.
He's an investor.
How about him? How about
him and Trevor are friends. They came from the same neighborhood as me.
How about him? I mean, how about those two dudes that they fired out of SARS because Tom Moyani came in and they were inconvenient? Remember the guys who wrote the book, Adrian Lacay and what's the other dude's name? Anyway, those guys should be back in SARS. If they want to do a good job, they need good people.
And we need young blood. You know, enough of like appointing old people to this position. Like, remember when Trevor was appointed? He was very young as a finance minister. And he wasn't even in finance. He's an engineer, right? So it literally could be Mabali Maloy.
Oh, no, no, no.
No.
Look, I'll tell you what. I'd be frightened.
But
we have really, really talented young people in this country. So go for someone new. Let's not fall back on what we already know, people. Come on.
Absolutely agree with you.
And Malusi was young. That was the one thing he had going for him.
That's true.
Yeah, but we forget politics and government isn't about the best people. It's about the right people. But the right is under the certain opinion of someone.
The president, usually.
And his, the ANC.
The ANC's NEC. All right. How are you feeling about the indicators so far for 2018?
So one of the great things about what's going to happen, I think is going to happen, and finally I can end on a good note, is that we are going to have to see some economic growth, right? And I think Ramaphosa will look to do whatever he can to start the economic growth cycle. Now we're on the upward. And then the flip side of that is potentially that the Reserve Bank may even cut interest rates, because yesterday CPI inflation came out at 4.4% when we were expecting 4.7%, and that is well within the 3-6 target range. So I think the next meeting is the third Thursday of March.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the 22nd or somewhere around there. We could well see an interest rate cut. And don't forget, I know these are horrible tax and VAT and all horrible increases, but if we do get economic growth and if things do come under control, these are not irreversible. And I think you'll see in the next 3 or 4 years, if things go well, that we'll get a tax reprieve and that income or VAT will be decreased, or your personal income tax could be decreased again.
Nice.
Now, that would be amazing. And, you know, we wouldn't have a president who's actively working against growth. And SOEs, you didn't mention those.
Oh, no.
But I would have liked a word from Malusi Gigaba, because he used to be public enterprises minister. He was the one who handed over most of it to the Guptas.
Yep, he was the guy that appointed all those board members. He
now
started that nonsense.
We talk about finance and how important the finance minister is. What we need is a real accountant in the state-owned enterprises. We need a minister in there who's just interested in the bottom line. Not a minister who's got political bullshit going on. We need someone who is a really good auditor. They must go in and clean house. SAA, Eskom, Transnet.
So there's a lot of talk that Pravin could take that position, actually.
Well,
he's
boring enough.
Yeah, and he's not my favorite finance minister either, by the way. So
no, it's nobody's.
Yeah, anybody puts up my taxes. But yeah, he could well be the guy you're looking for in public enterprises.
Let's just look at where we were when Nene was fired. What is it, 2.5-3 years ago now? And look at where we are now. And it hasn't gone as badly as we expected after that to happen. Only because we've arrested some serious nasty developments. But I do think that there's a lot of positivity in there at the moment. And you can't quantify that on the balance sheet. It seems that we're also forcing our private enterprises to account for themselves like we haven't before, in the light of what happened with Steinhoff last year. And finally, there seems to be some healthy indication that unemployment is headed in the right direction, even if it's going there slowly. Little things, right, Anthea?
Yeah, definitely. All the key indicators are showing the right things. I know you say it's difficult to quantify the euphoria, the Ramaphosa euphoria we're feeling, but actually I think what you'll see is business confidence increasing and coming back to a decent level. And if that happens, well, then the numbers just follow, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, companies will start investing, foreigners will start investing, so yeah.
All right, Anthea Gardner, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to come talk about the budget with us.
My pleasure.
Podcast will be available on cliffcentral.com through the course of the day. And if you need any more info, Anthea will be back on Monday with a whole lot more on stocks, shares, and what you can do to make the most out of your money.
Sometimes I did the same.
And here, just for my Lucy, some Kendrick Lamar. I'm not saying I liked his speech.
Deep depression.
But I do like that he quoted Kendrick. If you're going to quote a rapper, let it be Kendrick.
All right. Lucifer was all around me. And silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my face this all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po. When they kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door.
Now we know when what our finance minister listens to when he's rolling in his car.
He's got good taste.
In rap, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Well, in suits too, apparently.
No. I don't like his suits so much. At least he didn't wear a shiny one yesterday that made him look like he was dripping in acrylic. Alrighty, let's get on with it. There's lots of stuff to get into this morning. Budget, if you missed any of that, you can always catch up with podcasts. They'll be available ASAP. Anthea Gardner popping by to give us a little look at the budget. Let's talk about the other things that are in the news. Mubs, over to you.
Okay. Alright, so five policemen were killed during an attack on a police station yesterday.
Yeah, I heard about this in the news. This is horrendous.
This is horrendous. This happened in Ngobo, which is in the Eastern Cape. It happened yesterday morning. SAPS reported that a warrant officer and four constables were shot dead.
Jesus.
Three of the SAPS members were shot on site, while two additional members were kidnapped before being killed and left on the side of the road. Yes, yes.
That's so crass. And these are policemen. You know, these are people meant to protect those communities. It's just very, very worrying.
During the attack, 10 firearms and a police van were stolen from the police station, and an ATM a short distance from the police station was robbed. So the intention there was clear.
Mm.
Break in, get some weapons to commit a further crime.
Sure.
Yeah.
Horrible story. I'll tell you what's a little bit better is that it's a whole lot better, actually, is that tomorrow, which is always the craziest day here on cliffcentral.com, we're going to be live at the Lifestyle Home Garden Center. Told you about this, Mubs. This is very exciting. We're going outdoors with a blend of comedy, celebs, music, and more. CliffCentral.com broadcasting live from the Lifestyle Home Garden Center this Friday, and we met the people from there just the other day. You can catch the Just Now Comedy Podcast, Sex Talk, The Casper Radio Show, The O'Neill Africa Experience, and Millennial Gen. Plus, you'll get me and Aria Kelman thrown in too. Lifestyle Home Garden Center has all kinds of really incredible plants, garden and home decor, and accessories, hardware, and tools. They've got a team of passionate experts, creatives, and enthusiasts to create the kind of environment where you come to feed your soul. Make sure that you visit Cliff Central. It's at the corner of Beyersnodie and Eisterhout Avenue in Rand Park Ridge this Friday when we go through to the Lifestyle Home Garden Center. It's going to be fantastic. Very, very nice. We'll see you there.
Sorry, just getting back to that police attack.
Yeah.
What did Fakila Balula have to say about that?
I don't know.
I think he tweeted that he wants the perpetrators arrested within 72 hours or something along those lines.
Because I'm just looking at his Twitter feed right now. He's retweeted Casper Nyoves saying, we're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Looking further down. Okay, he has got something to say.
Let's just listen.
But do you have any detail at all so far on what actually happened?
Yes, this is a national tragedy in my own definition. And there's been a 72-hour manhunt and hunting these dangerous criminals. What happened is that early hours of this morning, criminals came into the police station in Ngobo and they start shooting and killing police officers who were inside. And those who were hiding, also they managed to kill about five police officers. And then others, they locked them inside the van who came from the patrol, which were female, and then dumped the van somewhere in and around Engobo. And then along the way, they shot a retired soldier and killed about six people all in all. That's what happened there. So it's a national strategy. I mean, it's a national strategy which requires a total shutdown. All our resources, our personnel, are on the ground to find these criminals. It's not something that happens for the first time. The modus operandi, it's like spreading throughout the country, especially in rural quiet areas. It happened here in, also in the Western Cape at Side B police station, where police were shot at early hours of the morning by people who came as though they are coming to report crime.
Yeah.
So we need to respond to that modus operandi.
How do you do that? Because as you say, off the police stations have to be open to the public. The public needs to be able to walk in and out to report crimes. But at the same time, you have a responsibility to keep your officers safe.
No, they have to be safe. And it means we must be alert from a point of view of the police, especially at night. But over and above that, the IT that we use must be upgraded so that we are able to respond and detect to a certain extent criminal elements who will be coming to the police station with a sole aim of coming to do criminal activities and attack the police. Because the first one who came in came with a balaclava, so it would have meant that the police would have detected that there is somebody who's coming inside the police station, you know, with a balaclava, and be alert at all times. So I think we need to improve our setup, but at the same time to be alert all the time at the police stations. Most important.
Well, he sounds like he's, he's on top of the situation. He's not always the most articulate guy in the world, but I get the feeling from Fikile Mbalula like police ministry is something he does not like criminals.
But guys, you know, see, like this, what if? Phenomenal problem this is, because we all know that rural communities have their problems, of course, in a really poor economy. But when the police station is a target...
Yeah, sure, because they can get weapons, all kinds of things.
Well, that's precisely why they're a target.
This is what makes this story so sad, is that, like, jeepers. I mean, if this is a national thing, he just said now, this isn't just an isolated incident.
Mm.
It really isn't a national disaster.
Someone's just messaged me, Ben, to say, can you believe it's already 7:29 and 28 seconds?
It's amazing, Gareth.
Isn't that good?
I don't know how that happened.
Huh. there's a bunch of stupid questions up here. Someone says, how the fuck is it March, a week on Thursday? January lasted longer than the DFS sale, and February has gone quicker than a fuckboy's wage when there's a sale on a JD.
A fuckboy's wage.
What's a JD?
I don't know. That's some American.
It's obviously where fuckboys go to shop.
That's great. Ben, piss on batteries. That's what you do. Oh. Gareth and Ben sound like a married couple. You two are hilarious. Morning team, quick question. Free education thoughts. Can South Africa afford it? And what will Moody's make of that 50 plus billion? Yeah.
Well, we're about to find out whether South Africa can afford it or not.
Correct. But I love the way we always jump in before we've tested the water. It's not like we dip our toe in the water to see if it's warm or cold. We just jump straight in. All right. There's some real wisdom in the world, though. Ben often sends us updates on Skolopat and tells us about what Skolopat's up to. But the real inspiration in the world is Cardi B.
Sure.
Well, without doubt. I mean, she's becoming a bit of an oracle as far as social commentary is concerned.
And Justice Malala has learned a lot from her. He said so to me the other day. He didn't know she existed until a short while ago. We introduced him to the world of Cardi B, and now he's a fan. What can we say? Here's Cardi B dispensing some advice. How exactly does this work, Ben? Does she just post blogs?
Gareth, how it works is you don't question it, you just listen.
Yeah, but what does she do? She's sitting at home and she grabs her phone and she records herself.
Variety of things. She'll just share her wisdom, you know, on the drop of a hat, really.
Okay, let's listen to what Cardi B has to tell us. Here she is, sharing her great wisdom.
Other people that's talking shit is niggas. And I don't understand how you have a dick, but you hate on a bitch. Like, if you hate on a bitch... I could only imagine how much you hate on a nigga that got a bigger dick than you, that get more money than you, that fucked your bitch. Like, it's crazy. Like, I cannot even fuck your... I can't fuck your bitch, but I can't fuck her with a real dick. So it drives me nuts how niggas be talking shit about me. Like, a man. How you a man talking shit about a bitch? Like, Come on now. That's some different shit. Anyways, let me check my comments because they didn't hear it. And the other people that...
All right. It's kind of going to loop.
She's essentially what she's getting at there is you've got to respect
women. What is she talking about? Tell us.
Well, you need to respect women. And what kind of a man are you if you do not live as a fundamental like that?
Yes, because, you know, a lot of people have a lot of things to say about Cardi B. And a lot of the time, the comments aren't flattering. So she is addressing the issue of men speaking unflattering things about her.
So when she says a bitch, she's talking about women generally.
Yes.
And when she talks about a nigger, she's talking about a man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. Right. So if I replace every one of the N words with man,
yeah,
replace all the bitches with woman.
Yes.
Then she's making a gender statement.
She is. Yeah. She's making a bold gender statement. Okay. Gareth, he's correct.
Ah, she should be at the UN with that kind of thought.
Well, if only. But I mean, I think it's quite easy to decipher what she gets at. Mm. You know, it's about equality.
That took me a little while. Sorry.
Well, you're old.
Clearly.
This be how they speak these days, man.
Yeah. A bitch. And what is it about big dick guys? Like, are they...
Oh, so it's a metaphor for
well,
egos, really.
Yeah, it's the egotistical...
Oh, so it's not actually about the size of the dick.
No. It's the problem that you were talking about earlier when you said that, you know, men struggle with ego problems.
Right.
Yeah. And I think what Carly's also alluding to is that if a man can't respect a woman, what can he really respect in life?
Hmm.
You know, if he's got an issue with her, then he'll have an issue with the world because she's essentially the representation of balance.
Thank God you cleared that up for me. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I feel much wiser now. What else is in the news?
Now, this is an interesting show, or not. Illusionist Derren Brown. We know about this guy, right? He's been involved in some pretty hard-to-comprehend stunts in his lifetime.
Right.
You know, he's meddled around with murky territories such as hypnosis, Russian roulette, heists, seances, and more.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's going a step further by trying to, and this is a new show that's available on Netflix, manipulate people into murder.
No.
It's part of a show called The Push.
That's when levitating doesn't happen. It's not good enough anymore.
Hang on, guys. Surely this is immoral.
Well, this is why I'm saying it. Is it an interesting show or not? Are we bordering into dangerous territories here? So it's taking the reality TV genre to its ultimate extreme. The new Netflix show has been designed to use social pressure to convince an ordinary, decent person to cast aside their moral codes to commit murder.
Hmm.
In the program description, it explains, Brown exposes the psychological secrets of obedience and social compliance.
Now that's fascinating.
That is, this is frightening.
That's fascinating.
He is lifting the lid on the terrifying truth that when confronted with authority, our natural instinct is to obey without question, right? Mm-hmm. To such an extent that even the most moral people can be made to commit the most horrendous acts simply because they are told to do so.
Right. People, that they've done a lot of research on this.
Mm.
A lot of people will just follow instructions. And, you know, the obvious place to go when you want to see a historical example of this is you look at Nazi Germany and you look at what happened during the Holocaust. So most people did not have the capacity to kill another human being just because they were Jewish. But given an order, they just obeyed. They did the most horrendous things. You've got to ask yourself, and this is an experiment that Professor Jordan Peterson does at Toronto University. He says to his class, what kind of a person would you have been if you were a German citizen in the 1930s in Germany? And most people would go, well, I would never have joined in with the Nazis. But you would have. Very few people at that time, less than now, I mean, way less, they didn't have an option. And they didn't have agency, and they didn't think of their own individual. They were told what to do. So think about where you would have been. You would have been wearing an SS uniform, or you would have been in the army. If you're a woman, you would have been running these programs that the Nazis had for women and children and all that stuff. You would have just fitted in.
Well, I mean,
and then you'd be part of the greatest criminal organization of the 20th century.
This is applicable to any instance on the planet where you know, one group of individuals have, where one group of individuals have,
if you're struggling with English, the rest of us are in trouble.
Push down another? What's
that? Yeah, we suppress and oppress.
Thank you, oppressed. Oh. So slavery, for example.
Right. Everybody always goes, well, why didn't, there were 500 slaves on the ship and only like five white guys with whips. Why didn't the slaves just fight back? But people are obedient. They say, why didn't those those Jews in the concentration camps, why didn't they storm the gates? Because people are obedient. Even if you're going to certain death, you're obedient. Look at our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. They're all drafted into the army. They were sent to fight wars they didn't believe in. They didn't have a fight in. They didn't have any benefit to be gained for it. And they just unquestioningly put on the uniform, march off to war. Think about that. People are obedient. They do what they're told. So this Derren Brown experiment, this is exactly what everybody should watch. I'm always afraid of mobs. It's the thing I'm most terrified of. Because when people get together and they stop thinking for themselves and they let the mob decide for them, bad things always happen. And whether it's a mob that thinks it's to get together for good or whether it's a mob that thinks they're getting together for bad, they always end up doing bad. Always. The minute you give up your own agency, the minute you let other people tell you what to do, instruct you on how to behave, you're on a highway to hell.
It's going to debut on the 27th, which is this coming
week. Yeah, I'm going to watch this.
Sorry, is it next week?
It's Let me make week. A note.
Yeah, it's called The Push on Netflix.
All right.
February the 27th.
February 27th, The Push.
Yeah.
Got you. Thank you, Mubs.
You're welcome. I'm
filling in my calendar as we speak. It's Tuesday next week.
Tuesday next week. Great stuff.
All right. Ben, are you going to watch that?
Maybe, Gareth. I'm not sure. I live quite a busy life.
Oh, well, excuse me. See, we're all making time for TV, and Ben is too busy for that.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on?
There's a proposed bill to ban male circumcision on babies in Iceland.
I heard about this.
Let Did the you? Children decide. Yes. If they scream, they want it.
What do you think?
What they're saying, Ben. The Icelandic Progressive Party are saying exactly that. They're saying, let these children grow up to be adult males, and then they can decide whether or not they want to be circumcised.
No, just chop them.
They say that those procedures are unnecessary. But then, of course, the European Jewish Congress has condemned the bill. They're saying that the ban would be an effective deterrent that would guarantee that no Jewish community will be established in the country.
Now, look, what you got to do, okay, this is a life lesson. When you're born, I know you people don't realize this, just get circumcised, because as you get older, you get shit to do, and then you got to book it, and you got to make it admin.
No, Ben. Ben, you're saying this because you tore your foreskin and you had to have it cut off.
Yeah. And
most people are perfectly healthy and quite well adjusted
one,
penises. No, you don't need one, but you're born with it. Do you think it's just there for shits and giggles?
No, but we're evolving as a human race. It's going to give you hassles in the future.
We're not evolving. Evolving doesn't mean taking something and cutting it out. If your appendix naturally atrophies and disappears and you don't have an appendix anymore, as humans have started to do, or you have two less wisdom teeth, that's evolution. Going in and actually excising something is not evolution.
What are the origins of circumcision? Does it originate from a medical background, or is it purely religious?
Well, it started off as religious.
Okay, so fairy tales
in the Jewish faith, what happens is it's your covenant with God. It's the promise between God and the Israelites and the Jews in the Old Testament. And to show that they mean it, they cut off the foreskin.
But then you also have a lot of people within the medical fraternity that support its benefits.
Sure. And there are a lot of people in the medical fraternity who tell you that it's a bad idea.
Yes.
Especially if it's done badly. And we know in this country there are all kinds of circumcision rituals that go horribly wrong, and people end up with major psychological and sexual problems as a result of having someone hack at their genitals with stones. And remember, that is how all humans did circumcision once. It was a crude, ugly process that left many men disfigured and psychologically scarred. And God knows how much misery it brought onto families and into sexual relationships with women and all kinds of other things. God alone knows how much damage circumcision has wrought. So when people say to you, oh, but it's cleaner and healthier and all the rest of it, that may be true. But in the long story of human history, forcing a child, traumatizing a child at age whatever it is, 2, 3, 5 weeks, maybe you don't do it for religious reasons, so maybe it's later on in life, it just doesn't seem to me to be something that you want to enforce on someone without their permission. And most adult men are in the position to be able to decide for themselves later on, I want to have it or I don't.
Then on an entirely different level, there is also the societal acceptance that circumcised members are prettier to look at than non-circumcised.
Well, there we go. Now we're talking about Mabali.
No, we're talking about societal pressure.
So they must ask Icelandic women what do they prefer and then basically give them the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, it's interesting that that's the main reason that so many men get circumcised in America, because America has this this preference for circumcision, right?
Mm.
There are other countries where they have the opposite preference.
Like where?
Like, I suppose, in Eastern Europe. Places like that. And you know, in South Africa, we have certain tribal and cultural preferences against or for circumcision as well. They're not all the same. So it depends from nation to nation. But I don't think that anyone else should be able to chop off any part of you without your permission. Don't you?
Well, it's, I mean, ironically, a lot of the time it's your father thinking that he was, you know, it's best for you to have it chopped off.
Just
or your parents.
How about you wait for the kid to grow up, unless he has medical problems in that area, in which case you obviously have to do whatever you have to do. How about you let him decide later on? Yeah, take him maybe even somewhere around puberty. He's already got enough issues. So if he feels like he needs to have a circumcision, you give him one at that age. You say to him, here we go.
It's another thing to discuss. It's another thing to worry about.
You don't even have children. You don't have to worry. But if you're going to have children and you love them, discussing things with them is the least you could do. Come on.
But then they want to discuss everything. And before you know it, they never shut up. Just want to talk.
Ah, you know,
and
the
then it's their feelings, and then it's their hopes and dreams.
On. You know, the problem with children is they never want to shut up.
You know, I mean, this is basically down, and here's the issue. I don't really care. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't mind. Whatever people want to do, they must do. I really don't. I don't have a personal preference. I think whatever you are is what you are. But bodily integrity is a big deal. You don't go up to a child and say, you're going to have pierced ears when it's a screaming little infant. And pierced ears are nothing compared to circumcision. You don't go to a little girl and say, oh, well, we didn't have a boy, so I'm going to give you gender reassignment surgery at age one. That would be immoral. You don't go hacking at your child's feet because you think four toes look better than five. You're not allowed to do that stuff to a little baby. It just doesn't seem to me to be very respectful of his bodily or her bodily integrity. You know, look at how absolutely outrageous we find female genital mutilation. For all the right reasons. It's disgusting. It's a deplorable practice. And there are people who say, well, it has roots in religion. It has roots in culture. Bullshit. It is designed to dull and undermine the humanity of a woman child as a sex being when she grows up. It's taking away any opportunity she would have to have a healthy, happy sex life by chopping off her clitoris at a young age. It's just wrong. None of us in the world go, yeah, that's great. None of us that are civilized or sensible anyway, right?
Good point.
So how can we make a different rule for the boys? And we say, oh, but it's religious, or it's this, or it's medical, or what. Let the kid decide. Imagine if I said to you, I mean, what a horrible person I would be if I said to you, you know, these girls, they won't get any STDs because no one's going to have sex with them, because they're not going to want to have sex with anyone because they won't have a clitoris, so everything's solved. That's medically much better for them. You'd think, what a horrific, heinous human being to say that.
Yes, but you see, the thing with parents is because they made the child, Gareth, they think that it's well within their rights to make these kinds of decisions for the child.
Those are exactly the people
I made you, I brought you into this world, I get to decide what happens to everything about you.
Well, those are exactly the kind of people that shouldn't be parents. And if you are the kind of parent who thinks that way, you should not be a parent. And social welfare should come to your house tomorrow and pick up your children and take them away from you because you're a monster like Joseph Fritzl.
Wow. Okay.
If you're trying to control your kids throughout their entire life, you're trying to make a decision about their bodily integrity, it doesn't seem right.
No, but who else must make those decisions?
They must decide when they're of an age where they can. Anyway, let's move on.
So, Apple, what did they have?
A lot of money.
Yes, correct. Tesla, what do they have?
They need a lot of money because they're busy firing off rockets with Elon Musk. Okay, well, almost he's doing right. it with his other business.
Almost right, Gareth. The exact answer I was looking for was creativity.
Okay.
So basically, they both have something that neither of the other one has. Apple's run out of creativity, but has lots of mm-hmm. money. Tesla has lots of you can see where I'm going with
this. Yes. I got you, yeah?
So, there's rumors circulating.
Billions and billions and billions and billions.
Yeah.
That Apple wants to buy Tesla.
Yeah, but this is an old rumor.
Yes, but it's coming back with more and more momentum now because obviously Musk's been in the news of late.
Yes.
Because if you look at the Tesla stock price, it's not doing a whole lot, but people have this whole belief that, you know, Musk's already ultimately going to make something amazing and everything's going to work and these cars are going to be the future and then SpaceX or whatever. So maybe Elon Musk, the only way he can really, really fulfill the prophecy of greatness that he is, he has to basically be bought by Apple, and then he becomes the CEO of Apple, Tesla, whatever. Hmm. And then we'll have, it's the only way these two companies are going to exist.
Right. Plus, sure. We'll finally have that integrated car and phone where they're the same thing.
What?
Yeah. Your car will be the supercar with the super technology. You'll just get in the car. It'll be self-driving because they're working on that already.
Yeah.
And it'll talk to you, and you can talk to it, and you can... You watch TV in the car and it'll all be very high tech. You have heads up displays. You have all kinds of cool things. Yes, I'm in favor of this. Sell now.
Although this rumor has been kind of thrown around, it's suddenly starting to make a lot of sense to a lot of people. And you've got to think, it's the only way both of them could ever exist and go to that next level. Then we will get to Mars. Then we will probably have the reality of the self-driving car. And it'll be more affordable because it can make so many more of them.
So now, obviously, people at Apple and Elon Musk himself have been asked for comment on these rumors. Have any of those parties revealed anything yet?
Because they're beholden to shareholders, they'll say nothing.
Yeah.
Because if they say something, the share price can fluctuate, and then it's very irresponsible
for
Tim Cook to say, yeah, that's really great because Elon Musk's really great and I love him. And then if Elon Musk goes, you know, well, they do great things and I'd love to be a part of that, then... It's almost like insider trading.
Hmm.
Sure.
That would be some company, huh? Apple, Tesla, SpaceX, and Boring, the Boring Company.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what?
Well, he's got a company called the Boring Company.
Spell it?
They drill. B-O-R-I-N-G. B-O-R-I-N-G.
They just drill into the ground.
They drill into the ground and they're digging tunnels that they want to put high-speed trains into. The Boring Company. And look it up.
That's a brilliant name.
It's great, huh? This is the first you heard of it?
Yeah.
Sure, we've discussed this before, the Boring Company.
Oh, my gosh.
And they could actually use that as the name for all the companies.
The Boring Company.
Hey, have you got that new phone from the Boring Company? No, but I didn't buy their car.
Hey, you got the new Boring...
You got the new Boring car. That's great.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting an upgrade. I'm upgrading to the Boring.
Yeah. Hey, Mubs, what's that? You just dropped your Boring. Yes, I'm looking a lot more interesting lately.
Oh.
All right. Hey, speaking of not boring, if you're looking for a music podcast with a twist, you can catch the O'Neill Africa Experience on Cliff Central. It's unlocked by Castle Light. A few weeks ago, he had Nigerian megastar Nini Olia and S.A. rapper Delez in studio that performed live with O'Neill's in-house band. The podcast is available on cliffcentral.com on the website or the app. Anywhere that you get your podcasts, because we don't mind. You might use some other app. We're not going to get upset about that. And don't forget that Castle Light are bringing you award-winning artist Chance the Rapper to their exhilarating extra cold experiences. The concert takes place on the 30th of April at the Ticket Pro Dome. You can get your tickets now from CompuTicket. You do not want to miss this Castle Light Unlocks exclusive. And you heard about it right here on CliffCentral.com. All right, let me wrap it up with the news for this morning. And we've got some interesting stuff coming up a little bit later today. I'll give you the lineup. Ben's got a great bounce show for us. Give us a little highlight advance viewing.
Yeah, Gareth showcased the top 100 golf courses in South Africa with great interviews from Golf Digest itself and the winner of the list.
Very
best
nice.
Course in the country.
Mm-hmm. Very, very exciting. Here it is, what you need to know this morning. Malusi Gigaba felt he did really well yesterday with his budget speech. He was going to spend the day suit shopping as a reward because, as he said, he's going to be all right. Well, until Cyril sends him a meeting request, then his life is set to go from Kendrick Lamar to just Lamar Odom. Apple are rumored to be interested in buying Tesla, as Ben told us just now. This makes perfect sense because Apple has lots of money but no creativity, and Tesla has loads of creativity but they're running out of money. This does mean an Apple car is in the future, but it also means you'll have to buy a new car every 2 years. It'll suddenly become slow and stop working. And finally, SARU and Boerland Rugby Union are calling Peter de Villiers a liar. P. Divi is calling them a bunch of niars. Yes. This back and forth could really go on forever. So that's the end of the unnews and today's show. We will see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.